morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you on this fine Wednesday. I'm Stacy Ann, glad to be with you. You're tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Follow us online at kslm.news. Like us on Facebook Radio, on KSLM Radio. We're news you can use. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And boy, it's been a busy 24 hours. Actually, really this week, lots happening with the Supreme Court challenge. We've got all kinds of activity going on with the primary and so much news that you can use. And we want to thank Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency for sponsoring our news update, 503-885-0789. Taking a look around the horn as far as the elections, and we've got all the details and a link on our Facebook page at KSLM Radio, so you can go and look at the details. But right here in the city election, it looks like maybe Jose will have a runoff election. There's like just maybe even 15 votes different in that race, but mostly new people coming on the board, an incumbent on the board, city council. It's going to be an interesting time in Salem for those of us that were hoping to see Reed Sun elected, and also Brad Nanke. Both of those folks, unfortunately, did not prevail in their election. And so it'll be an interesting time here in Salem, in my perspective, in my opinion, and certainly a time for us as citizens to stay engaged and stay involved in the process. Want to say congratulations to Joe Ray Perkins. She did prevail in her race, and she will go on to the general election as the Republican nominee. Danielle Bethel for commission will go on, and Amy Corser Ryan as well. I've had a lot of folks asking me how can they get involved in what's going on here in Oregon in regards to the lawsuit, wanting to know how they can be heard. Should we get a hold of the Supreme Court? Should we write personal letters? How can I tell my story of being affected by the ongoing shutdown and the overreach, in their opinion, of the governor? And after doing a lot of research and investigating yesterday, trying to find out what's the most effective way to connect to the Supreme Court and certainly the governor, I continue to come back to this idea of sending your personal story. Write up your personal story and how you've been impacted, how your business has been impacted, how your family's been impacted, and send it to info@commonsensefororegon.com. That is the group, along with the Pacific Justice Institute. They're working on the lawsuit with the churches and the businesses with attorney Kevin Mannix. You will be heard. Your information will be heard. And so we'll put a link on our Facebook page, and you feeling like, man, I just want to get involved. Certainly you can get involved by financially contributing to the cause. You can get involved by telling your story. I think that's the most effective means right now. And of course, certainly, as we've talked about, electing the right people that line up with your values in our local elections, in our city council, our commission, and state house and senate, onto our national offices really do make a difference. And elections have consequences. It's important to know where we stand on the issues. And it's even more important that we vote for those who stand with us and will represent us. It's very discouraging. I've talked to several folks who've been laid off, business owners who have fallen through the cracks. They don't have enough employees to file for the PPP. They don't qualify for unemployment. There's several folks who should qualify for unemployment, even the traditional way. They've worked here in Oregon. And then those who are what they call gig workers or self-contractors, independent contractors, who are still not getting any kind of relief or help people are hurting, and I believe we're at a breaking point where if we don't start opening up the economy and allow people to go back to work, we're really going to be in critical condition, if not already there. And so if you're in a position where you feel like you want to be heard as well, I would encourage you to send an email. We'll put a link up on the Facebook page as well, because people are not, it's been over 8-9 weeks now, and folks aren't getting the resources and the stimulus money. Anybody that has received stimulus money, that has already been used already. And so we want to continue to be that source of connecting you to ways that you feel like you can engage in the process. So stay tuned, and we will definitely put those links up on our Facebook page. In the effort to encourage, educate, and engage you, I thought it'd be only fitting on the day after an election, a primary election, that we continue the story of politics, right? But we're going to do a little bit of a shift and a little bit of more of a, maybe a little bit of fiction including in politics. And when we had Amy and Ken Carey on a couple weeks ago, they're the folks, remember, they have the Spud Bus in Staten where they're feeding kids and connecting in the community and having wonderful, it's baked and loaded potatoes. And boy, Terry and I went over there a couple weeks ago and enjoyed a wonderful evening eating our Spuds, thanks to Ken and Amy. And Ken told me about Russell Myers and a good friend of his. My understanding, they played a little baseball together. And he told me about Russell and that he is an author and that he's writing these books about politics and kind of a political thriller. And I thought, I am very interested in that. And so connected with Russell Myers, and he is here in the studio with me today. And let me give you a little background on Russell. Russell Myers grew up in Washington State on the west side with its mountains, valleys, rivers, and dense evergreen forests. Oh, and of course, Mount St. Helens. At 15 years old in 1980, he saw the mountain explode from his relatively secure front yard. An hour later, he was flying in a single-engine Cessna, taking photos and witnessing the fury of nature up close. After 54 years of travel and adventure, he penned his first novel, Swimming with the Current. It's a story about a college student, Derek Bradford, and his journey of discovery with a progressive group of activists in Portland, Oregon. 4 months later, in April 2020, he published the first of four short stories about travel, Quarantine, on the Regina Del Mare, a 50-page cozy mystery about a cruise ship under quarantine. The second short story in the series, Delay Over, is slated to come out in June 2020, and we have Russell right here in the studio. He's an Oregonian now. We converted you from a Washingtonian to an Oregonian. Welcome to the morning show. How are you doing today?
Well, thanks for having me, Stacey.
Yeah.
It's great to be here on this big primary day.
I know, right? The day after a primary, and it was really interesting with COVID-19 and new to the community. Usually on election nights, even primary nights, there's parties, right? There's gatherings for your candidate that you support, and a lot of hors d'oeuvres, and you know, people just anticipating. And it was really kind of interesting last night as I sat in front of my computer kind of eyeballing and watching. It was so different. It was like, was there an election going on?
I looked at the website, and the results hadn't come out yet when I went to bed. And it's kind of interesting how there was no gatherings.
Yes, nothing. Really? As I went through Facebook, I didn't even see a lot. I thought maybe there'd be some online type live, even a Zoom or something. There just wasn't a lot of activity going on. And so this voting by mail, let me talk about that a little bit. This is new for me. My very first experience voting here in Oregon at the age of 18 was so different than it is now. You actually got to go somewhere. I think it was a school, and I got to cast my vote. And all these years not living in Oregon, that is how it's been. But to come back, in fact, I even got a friend to take a picture for me. Don went down, and I did my drive-through, dropping off my ballot, yesterday. Talk to me about your process of voting. Do you...
In Washington State, it's all mail-in.
Mm-hmm.
So, we get our ballots in the mail, and then we fill them out. And actually, we get them a few weeks early.
Uh-huh.
So you could actually vote in September, the end of September.
Yes.
Get them.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not sure what I think about that. I kind of liked going to the school and having to go out and in the process, and there'd be the people there at the desk, and then you take your thing and you go to the little ballot booth.
Right.
And I kind of like that process.
Well, and my big thing, I kept saying, well, I love being there, and I love wearing my sticker, you know, out in the community that I voted. And the cool thing was is when I went to the drive-thru, they gave me a sticker. I still got a sticker. You know, I'm like one of those kids going to the doctor's office, you know, you get a sticker because you survived the doctor's office. So you have lived in Washington. You're been involved in your community. You've played baseball. Tell me a little bit about you, your family. Let us get to know you.
Well, I have a wife, Sarah, and two kids, and my children are 21 and 19. I have a son and a daughter, and they're going to college now, which is, of course, remote learning now, they call it. So my son goes to University of Washington, and he's in his fourth year now, and we're not sure still what's going to happen this fall.
Right.
And same with my daughter, who goes to Oregon State. She's just a sophomore.
Okay. So what my understanding, I talked to a gal in Seaside over the weekend who was home, and she said what's difficult is, yes, they went home in their remote learning, but they still had to pay for their housing, and that, you know, that they're just whatever they paid, they don't get any money back or any reimbursement at all for their expenses that they would have had if they would have stayed there.
We didn't have to pay for the housing.
Oh, good.
But we actually canceled the housing before the term.
Oh, good.
So I think if you waited until after the term, maybe you had to pay some at Oregon State and Washington. But I think they didn't charge you the whole amount.
I hope that's the case. I know there's just every situation is so unique.
Yeah.
And the remote learning, it's interesting in our family. My youngest son finished in December, and so did his wife, my daughter-in-law. And then my youngest daughter, Bree, she actually decided not to go this last semester. She went in the fall, and she said, I think I'm going to work for a little bit. And I'm so thankful, you know, because she is one. She, even though she did some homeschooling and went ahead and actually pushed ahead and graduated a year early, very thankful about that because we could celebrate last year. But she actually, yes, where this year it would have been crazy.
I can't imagine being a senior in high school.
And you know what's really interesting, and this ties into kind of what we're going to get into as far as the political thriller, but a lot of these kids that are graduating this year, they were born right around 9/11 time.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they came into the world in crisis, and they're graduating in crisis, and they're being equipped for something pretty grand, I think.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yes,
right.
That was kind of this epiphany and aha moment when you think about 18 years later, 19 years later, here we are, you know, and these kids, their world, our world since 9/11 has changed.
Oh, yeah.
Dramatically, even going into the airport.
I told my kids, I don't know when it was, I told them, I said, before 9/11, I remember back in the 80s, I would take an aircraft, and you didn't even have to have a driver's license.
Right. Indeed.
You just walked on. Okay.
I know. It's crazy the times that we live in. We are having a wonderful discussion with Russell Myers. He's an author with a political, what I call it, a thriller, pretty much, or keeping you on edge a little bit. Awareness building, yes. We are having a wonderful discussion this morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Good morning to you on this fine Wednesday. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 7:22 in the morning. 51 degrees today. Showers likely. We may get up to 60, 61 today. And it looks like the next couple days a little cooler. But the good news, right around the corner next week, yes, temperatures in the 70s. Kind of happy about that. May have to take a little drive over to the coast. That makes me very happy. And I know for you and I to get outdoors and enjoy the great outdoors. A lot of the parks are opening up. We have Memorial Day right around the corner, and I saw in the news headlines that Silver Creek has opened up and some of the hiking trails. I don't think all of the hiking trails are open yet, but certainly some of them are. So if you're feeling like you want to get a nice little hike in, even between the raindrops, right? Because we're Oregonians. And in Washington, I think they're pretty much the same way. We're not scared by rain, right?
We're ready to be outdoors. Right now.
Yes. And so I have Russell Myers here with me, and we're having a great conversation about life in general. And he's given me an update on what's going on even in Washington politically. And it's interesting, this whole, we were talking about mailing in our ballots and kind of that process. Certainly, the Pacific Northwest is interesting. It's an interesting place. When we talk about Portland, and oftentimes
it's the left coast.
It is the left coast, indeed. In fact, when we were moving and really evaluating if we were to move here and back here, people were saying, "Why would you do that, Stacy? Why would you move? You conservative, you want to move back?" And I said, "This is home. This is where I was raised. Oregon and Salem area really made a good conservative out of me, and I love it here. I love the natural beauty. I do love people want to steward the environment here. They want to pick up the trash for the most part, although I've seen some over the last couple months. I don't know if it's because we've been so shut down, people aren't picking up trash along the highway or whatever. I'm like, what's going on with this? But we live in a great place, and Portland is a unique place. Many people call it Portlandia or the weird Portland and things like that. When you are talking about or thinking about, tell me a little bit about writing this book. That let's get into that a little bit. You got this concept that, hey, I think I want to write a book. I want to be an author.
Yeah,
how does that happen?
In 2018, basically for the 2 years prior to that, we've heard all this rhetoric that's pretty toxic politically. And you can talk with your friends, you know, a little bit about it, but, you know, you don't want to go in too much detail politically with your friends, or they get tired of it. And so it's been kind of cathartic. And then I started writing, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and write about politics and governments and socialism, capitalism. And I lean to the right, but I thought, you know, I'm going to try to write it leaning from the left.
Right.
And I thought, well, that might be interesting because of the toxic environment. Maybe it'll play out a little bit differently than it would normally play out. I know most of the KSLM listeners are probably more conservative. So it would be interesting for them to do the same thing.
Right.
Or to read this, actually, because it's coming a little bit from the left. But most of the people that have talked to me about, well, I asked them, do you like the book? And the conservative friends say, yeah, I liked it. And the liberal friends I have said, yeah, I liked it. So they're on about the same level of liking the book, which that was my goal, really.
What is your background? What have you done for work over the last several years?
Since 1996, I've managed a private investment company. So I've been doing that almost forever. Real estate, equities. And so I work alone most of the time. I spend about half the time in my office at home and then about half the time at the properties. So this time of the year, you'll catch me outside mowing on a lawn tractor for about 20 hours a week.
And that's therapeutic, isn't it?
It really is. And it gives me a lot of time to think, which sometimes is dangerous.
You can plot your next book, is what you're telling me here.
Yeah.
Yes. And so through your work and experience in life, you've come across interesting scenarios, and you've got to watch people play things out in their life and the decisions and choices that we make. And oftentimes in economics, what I pretend to know anyway is the decisions we're making right now, we will actually feel, what, 6, 7, 8 months, a year from now. There's like this ripple effect, right?
Oh, I think some people feel them immediately. You know, you close down that Glamour, Glamour in Salem.
Salon right here in town.
I read about that quite a bit, and I listened to your show. And that, I'm sure they were affected immediately.
Yes.
And sometimes, like in my job, it didn't really affect me at all. It was, like my wife and I had talked about this, it was more of a minor inconvenience.
Right.
Didn't mean a whole lot. Wasn't difficult for me at all. But there's a lot of people out there right now that are hurting.
Yes.
And they were hurting from day one.
Yes.
you know, even before that.
Well, and you think about the service industry and the economic side of those that are waiters, waitresses.
Oh,
a large part of their living and how they pay their bills is through the cash of the tips and those kinds of things. And so we don't realize, even in our own mind, you know, we're inconvenienced in the sense that we don't get a haircut.
Yeah.
We can't go to the salon and do the things that we like to do that help us feel good and look good. That's inconvenience on our part, but this is how these folks make their living. You know, it really does have an impact. When you're writing this book and you're thinking, you're kind of taking this viewpoint of, okay, I'm leaning a little right, but I want to do it from the perspective of the left. In my mind, I think this would be very insightful. And I think it sounds like what it allows the readers to do, and I thank you, by the way, the gift of the book. I can't wait to get a chance to read it and have a deeper understanding of your work. But it allows people to get outside of themselves and possibly have an understanding of why someone would come from that perspective.
Well, that was my intent. I don't know if I pulled it off or not, but people say I did.
Good.
But the protagonist, I wrote it from first person. So the protagonist is a young, Derek Bradford is his name, and he's a young college student. And he's apathetic about politics. He doesn't really care. He's not interested and never has been. And he's just going through life just like any college kid these days and not thinking about it too much. And then he meets a girl, and she's involved with a political organization that they call themselves Democratic Socialists, and it's in Portland. And Derek actually is going to school in Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
So he meets the girl, and then the girl invites him to the meeting, and he starts becoming more involved. And that's kind of the premise.
That leads up to getting involved and reading this story for sure. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, hanging out with Russell as we're talking about his book. Actually, he's got two of them out now, and we're going to talk about how you can access and get yours today. Here coming up next, hang on, we'll be right back. Salem, Silverton, Turner, Kaiser, wherever you're at today. Perhaps you're in South Dakota tuning in, like my parents. They're so good to be supportive. Hi, Mom and Dad, if you're tuning in today. And we're just so glad to have you listening in, and we're having fun. You know, we're in an interesting season with the COVID-19 and all the election stuff going on, and we've got lawsuits going on with our governor, and a lot of opinion of you know, is it governor overreach by extending the stay-at-home order beyond her what appears to be her constitutional authority? We've got, you know, businesses that are required by the health department to make sure everybody has a mask, and if you go in that business and you're not wearing a mask, they're going to hound you and chase you down and tell you you must wear a mask, of course, unless you have some kind of health condition like myself that really shouldn't be wearing a mask. It's all this crazy unknown. We really just don't know. But I continue to maintain that we can't live in a spirit of fear. We've got to have facts and embrace what we know to be true. And we need to have that level of faith and understanding and know who we are and whose we are and stay grounded and stay connected to one another. And I've got Russell Myers here with me in the studio, and he's an author. He's penned a few pieces of paper together and ideas. We found out during the first segment, I believe, it was while he's mowing, probably he's developing these concepts. He has a background in finance. Would that be appropriate?
Yeah.
You know, financial management and working in investments and things. And he shared his story about how he came up with this idea of putting this fiction story together, and I really think, Russell, as you shared with me, I think it's a tool. I think it's very important, and maybe it's the sociologist in me and the background that I have in school in human services and sociology, to have a helicopter view and try to understand. And some people say, Stacy, that's just absolutely silly. You know, well, I'm not going to waste my time trying to understand how someone opposite of me thinks. It's just not worth my time. And I argue. I say, no, I think it is worth our time, because I think every human being has value. Even if they think differently than us, you know, can you imagine a planet if we all looked alike,
yeah,
talked alike?
Well, there are core core values, mm-hmm, and then there's the rhetoric we hear every day too,
right?
And they're kind of different. I think that, you know, if you just general people, I think most people agree on 95% of all the issues,
right?
But we don't hear about those issues. We hear about the 5% that they disagree on,
mm-hmm,
and it's too bad. Because I think, you know, you have friends that are liberal, mm-hmm, conservative, and, mm-hmm, and whatever else, and I do too, and I get along with everybody.
Yes.
And we don't have to spend our time on the things we disagree about.
Mm-hmm. And I call the rhetoric zingers.
Yeah.
The zingers that just shut down the conversation,
discussion. It completely
shuts it down. And we've gotten to a place, I believe, in our political discourse where we can't have a good discussion anymore. People get their emotions in it, and they stomp off to their playground, you know, or they'll take their toys and say, I'm going home, kind of thing. And
exactly.
And that you and I believe when we were in school and we were raised, certainly in a lot of what we had to have our points backed up by facts, right?
Sure.
And we came to the discussion to somebody, you know, if we did debate or any of those, you know, classes, we had to prove our point and we had to be open and listen to the other side of, you know, the discussion.
Well, even if you didn't have to be, it wasn't toxic.
Right.
And, you know, you get into a political discussion now, if it's someone that disagrees with you, all of a sudden, like you say, they're bringing up those, what'd you call it, the zingers?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the way that TV news, if you want to call it news these days, is.
It's the shock and awe,
yeah,
to get points or get people, you know, the headlines
and
that
you hang 45 on. Seconds to state your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you going to do in 45 seconds?
It's nearly impossible. The thing that I've noticed in watching my children grow up, the oldest almost 30 this fall, Dylan will be 30. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing. And my youngest 18, she'll be 19 in the fall.
Before I forget, you know, I loved your show on Friday.
Oh,
I listened, and your parents were on there.
Yes,
and happy belated birthday,
oh,
by the way.
Thank you so much. Yes, mom and dad camping in the Black Hills.
I thought that was great.
And they're coming. They're actually coming coming to see us here in about a month, and I'm hoping I will see you. Dad will come on the air with me. That would be, and even mom, it would be fun to have them as guests.
You take them to the coast?
Oh yes. In fact, they were like, I want to make sure everything's open before we head that way, you know. And it's been interesting because they I've had to kind of say, okay, you guys are out and about a little bit too much, because, you know, South Dakota never shut down.
Right.
You know, some of the areas, they had some oversight and guidance, but they didn't really. So they were going to Menards and going to, you know, doing projects around the house, and they're retired now. And I'm like,
well, it's a different lifestyle back there, right?
Oh,
we have,
yeah,
a friend that lives in Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
And to her, going to Rapid, like, that's going to the mall.
Yes, it's a huge thing. And people will say to me here, like, I want to drive up and visit people that I've known for years, like in Sherwood or,
yeah,
over, you know, the Dalles and different places. And they're like, oh, that's quite a drive. Are you sure you want to come over? That's quite a drive. And I said, oh, girl, I'm from South Dakota. I don't have a problem driving a few hours,
well,
to
this,
see somebody.
You know, coming down here, mm-hmm, is the longest drive I'd had since the shutdown.
Oh my, how are the roads? I should have you give me a
good
road report this,
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, no problem.
Clear sailing all the,
yeah,
way through, huh?
It was early though.
Yes. And did you get to see the sunrise? Was it too cloudy?
Cloudy.
Yeah, a little bit cloudy this, yeah, morning, yes.
It's been cold.
Yes, it's been a cooler time.
Yeah, I'm ready for summer. I'm a summer guy.
Yeah, so do you fish?
No, I mean, mm-hmm, I have fished, but I'm not an avid fisherman.
Yeah, do you like to spend time there at the gorge?
We go to the gorge. We like, mm-hmm, to hike.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I like to hike, and so the gorge is, of course, one of the best hiking places around.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we hike in the gorge, and also I listen to KSLM.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an avid listener.
Yay.
Now. Ever since Ken Carey got me,
yes, got you hooked.
Got,
huh,
me hooked. Yeah.
Yes.
So now
And Ken, tell me a little bit of how you know him.
Well, I met Ken, I think it must have been around 2004.
Mm-hmm.
We played baseball together in an old man's league. And Ken's a little older than me. Mm. I remind him every once in a while of that.
Okay.
So we've played off and on since 2004, so it's 16 years.
So this is not like... A lot of people grow into slow pitch softball as they their age, you know, increases.
I've done a little slow pitch softball, but this is real hardball, real.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wooden bats and the whole bit.
Wooden
huh?
bats, yeah.
Excellent. And so, what position do you play?
I'm a shortstop.
Okay.
And I'll pitch some too. I throw hard, mm-hmm. I still throw pretty hard. So, as an old guy, that's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can throw hard, you're going to be put on the mound a little bit.
So we have,
even though I've never been a pitcher.
We have a big following here in Salem with the Volcanoes, you know, the stadium there. And Babe Ruth is real big. Both my brothers growing up here played with Babe Ruth. And baseball is a big thing in the Pacific Northwest. How many years did you play?
Oh, I played. I'm still playing. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So you started at like T-ball?
Yeah, started at T-ball. I played through college.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent actually 6 years in Italy playing baseball.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I got paid to play baseball for a living.
Oh, wow. What was that like?
It was fun. It was fantastic. You know, you can't go back and look at those experiences as any... I mean, it was really nice. It was fun.
So when we talk about COVID-19 and everybody's talking about getting the sports activated again, and they're talking about no fans in the stadiums, but they're going to televise, you know, at least some of the national games. What are your thoughts on that? And certainly as a player on the field, you got to wear a mask.
There's no possibility you could ever wear a mask on a field playing baseball. And I can't even imagine the other sports like football or basketball. Can you imagine?
Mm.
You know, you get hypoxia or something. You would... you need all that air you can get.
Yes.
Even in baseball. And
right.
Baseball is one of the lesser sports for that. So I can't imagine having to wear a mask. And I can't imagine what the players are going through right now. Especially you look at the high school players or college players
mm-hmm.
that just missed a season. Now they're going to miss a summer probably. And who knows what happens in the fall.
Well, and when you think about the conditioning that needs to happen to stay in your athletic ability and your ongoing, I know in high school I played basketball and I had an injury of stress factor and I had to sit out, and just losing that momentum of working with the team and that groove that you're in and trying to join back in, it was like they're way beyond me.
You
know, your physical condition and your mental condition and all of those things. And sports are a part of our, not just a recreational thing that we do, it's a part of our psychology of the Pacific Northwest.
Well, health-wise, too. You know, mm-hmm. I've probably gained 15 pounds just...
Yes.
I called the COVID-15
yeah.
instead of the COVID-19.
Trying to stay active, and that's a good part of our mental health, the physical part of what we do every single day. So is there any baseball in your book?
Let's see. In the... I don't think so.
Oh,
yeah,
so
no.
there's an idea for the future, huh?
Another. Well, I don't know. People have asked me about that,
uh-huh.
but I don't know.
Yeah,
I did use some Italian.
Okay.
So, and I speak fluently, so I use some Italian in the book.
Okay.
And in fact, my book, Swimming with the Current, and then I wrote a short story,
mm-hmm.
Quarantined on La Regina del Mare. And that was off the coast of Venice. This cruise ship was quarantined off the coast of Venice.
Okay.
So I was able to use some of my... I've been to Venice maybe a dozen times. So I was able to use some of my memories.
Yes. And you could elaborate in your book on that. What's the difference between a regular book and a short story?
Well, I guess a regular book, you know, it's like a word count thing. And so anywhere from 70,000 to whatever can be considered probably a regular book. My book's about 110,000 words, I think.
Okay.
And then it goes down to a novella, which
mm-hmm.
is something like 15, maybe 40,000 words. And then anything under 15,000 is probably considered a short story.
Mm-hmm.
And La Regina del Mare was about a little under 13,000.
Incredible. And so when you have this idea for a book and you start working with it, I want to talk a little bit, because we might have some inspired writers out there. They just
sure.
haven't penned their ideas and stories
to.
Yet. I want to get into some of the logistics when we get back from this break.
Absolutely.
We have Russell Myers, author, baseball player, dad, and husband on the air with us today. Thank you for listening. my friend. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this break.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Together on this Wednesday, it's 7:50 in the morning. How you doing, my friend? Are you hanging in there? I certainly hope so. You know, I've heard from many of you and you're interested in knowing how you can get involved with this lawsuit that's happening here in Oregon. As you know, many churches and businesses have lined up to challenge the governor's overreach and what they say, that she really had authority by the Oregon Constitution 28 days to do a lockdown. And really, we were encouraged to do the right thing, be responsible, stay home, stay healthy, right? We're in this together to flatten the curve and make sure our hospitals had the capacity to deal with any kind of outbreak of the pandemic. In fact, remember, they set up even a hospital, National Guard did, right here at the state fairgrounds, in which we never even had to utilize. And so we're now past that. We've been locked down since really the middle of March, and we're like, okay, let's get back to some sort of normal life and living. And many of you want to know how you can get involved. And I want to encourage you, if you have a personal story, you've been impacted, your business, your livelihood, you're still not getting unemployment, all of those things, there is a way that you can let people know your story. If you want to get a hold of commonsenseoregon.com, you can send your email there, your story there. I really want to encourage you. We'll have a link on our Facebook page. You can find us at KSLM Radio. So this morning, we're having a wonderful discussion talking about this political book that is really fiction, but it really applies. It's based out of Portland. I've got Russell Myers here with me, and he's the author, and he penned this book in a time I think is kind of interesting, political climate, getting an understanding of how the progressive thinker works, and maybe even how people get involved and how do people define themselves. And a lot of times it's through relationships. And you talk about in this book how it's a gentleman who really just, politics, not so involved, but he met a girl.
Yeah, he's apathetic. I got the idea. Basically, I thought back. I wanted to write it from a college-age kid's perspective because if you look at the organizations that are growing, they're growing from the youth.
Yes.
Especially democratic socialist organizations. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had to write it from that perspective. And I thought back of my days when I was in college, and I thought, well, what would have made me – because I was pretty apathetic too.
Right.
And what would have made me – and I thought, it must have been a girl, right? Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else that would have made me go to a meeting.
Yes. Well, and sometimes even church works that way.
Sure.
People have never been in church at all and had no influence, not even for a wedding or a funeral anymore. You just don't need a church for any of that stuff. And then they meet a boy or meet a girl whose family is connected. So it's influence, right? It's all through relationships and relationships.
I can't even imagine, because now that they keep extending these dates, I'm not even sure when are the churches going to be able to open for...
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing some stuff online. I think that's smart.
A lot of stuff online. Again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. For the Christian worldview and from our perspective, a biblical worldview, it talks about don't forsake the assembling together. There is a component, community, important. Part of that is so important. In fact, Jesus would send them out two by two, not even alone, to share the good news and the gospel. And I think there is some healing component to fellowshipping.
Well, that's why, I'm sure that's why the First Amendment has the assembly, people assembling.
Yes, protecting that. And a lot of the founding fathers, we watched The Patriot, you may have heard me talk about this, we watched The Patriot over the weekend. And just a good reminder that the militia, the everyday people, the farmers that rose up in that movie, a great demonstration of how they remembered the times of the oppression. They remembered what it was like not to have the freedoms and the liberties. I don't think we have memories here unless we are talking to people that have moved, like the Russian Orthodox Church, who've moved from oppression, where they didn't have the freedom of religion. And really, our Constitution says freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And that spiritual component of who we are is so very, very important.
Well, and we become the boiling frog, the old scenario. We do become the boiling frog. And it's crisis like this that we understand exactly where we're at.
Yes, it's like a reset, don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that the people are cooking again.
Yeah.
Talking about building a garden. Being, you know, even if it's just a little patio garden, it's like some way of self-sustaining, right?
Well, it's positive. Mm-hmm. It's all positive. It's great to see stuff like that, but there's so many people right now that are having a difficult time too. So you don't want to relish in the fact that things are happening like this when, in fact, some people are really having to struggle.
Well, and I think of my 92, 93-year-old grandmother who is stuck in an assisted living home in South Dakota. And even though there's more freedom, certainly you protect those that are most vulnerable and how isolated. She can't hear real well, so she can't talk on the phone and she can't see real well. And I love my aunts and my cousins have been, and my parents have done ways to stay connected with her. She has a little patio outside of her apartment, so they'll be out there and talk to her, you know, from a safe distance and things. But it is difficult, and I'm concerned about our healthy elderly who are so isolated and not really knowing, and you can see where fear would hit in. With your book and even with your short story, what is your goal? What is your hope that people will come away with after reading?
Well, in the book, the short story wasn't political at all. Mm-hmm. It just had to do with, in fact, I've committed to write 4 short stories this year.
Great.
And the short stories are more about life during the epidemic.
Oh, good.
Or pandemic, I guess.
Good.
The book was more political.
Okay.
And basically my idea was to throw a few things out there and have a discussion. And maybe people that read in it could have a discussion, a civil discussion about some of the topics.
Good.
And that was my goal.
Kind of stir the pot a little bit. So if someone's out there, listener, or even myself, I've had a lot of people say, you know, you have an interesting life story. You should tell a story about this. You should write it down. I'm thinking, yeah, that's an idea.
And, you know, and it is a great idea. I think everyone is a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all you have to do is make a commitment to put some, I guess, in a computer now, but mm-hmm. put the pen to the paper. But we talked on during one of the breaks, we talked about the difference between a novel and a
short
nonfiction.
Story. Oh, your nonfiction, yes.
And I think it's important, you know, when I started writing Swimming with the Current, it was as a nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
So I penned about 25,000 words basically of nonfiction, different governments and mm-hmm. their policies, and all the people in it, all the political figures in it were real. And as I got, and then I reread it, and I thought, you know, We've heard about this a lot,
yeah,
and it just wasn't all that fun,
right?
So I thought I need to make it a fiction and then make it more fun.
Yeah, add some creativity to it,
right?
Some twists and turns, like good movies, right?
Plus, you can talk about people a little bit more when
more freely,
when
more freely. Is that
exactly.
A word? So, if I was interested in writing a book, do you go out and find a publisher? Do you self-publish? What would you recommend?
I self-published, and I had that idea to begin with because mm-hmm. I'm not I don't have a background,
mm-hmm.
a literature background. So I knew going in I was going to self-publish. Amazon makes it really easy now mm-hmm. these days. So I hired an editor,
mm-hmm.
and I hired a professional editor to finish it up.
Excellent. So where can people get your book?
You go to Amazon.com, look up Russell Myers, RussellMyers, or Swimming with the Current. And
On Amazon. Very good. We'll put a link as well. We'll have this interview up on KSLM Radio Facebook page and on our website, KSLM.news. So you can tell all your friends and family you've had a re-debut of radio, right?
Thanks. Congratulations on the show, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in, and have a wonderful drive home today, all right?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I encourage you to go to Amazon and get the book, and we'll put a link on our Facebook page. Remember, my friend, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you are an overcomer. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Be blessed.